Training camp is here, so consider us your camp counselors, Colts fans. The Colts reported to Grand Park on Tuesday, and they had a ton to say, so we'll bring that all to you now. Let's get to it.
You are Locked On Colts, your daily Indianapolis Colts podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Colts fans, thanks so much for tuning in and making us your first listen of the day. This is your daily podcast covering your Indianapolis Colts, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. On Tuesday, we got to talk to a handful of Colts players as well as GM Chris Ballard. I was fortunate enough to be there covering the team live and in person once again this year. Been doing it most summers since like 2013, 2014, so I've got it for you again if you've enjoyed my coverage in the past or haven't. Still follow along because, I mean, that's... I need
the clicks are all we look. We don't care about your interaction. We care about your clicks. So just, you know, follow along even if it's hate clicking. Yeah. You know, that's all.
Exactly. Content's garbage. Who cares? Follow along. But anyways, there was lots of tea flowing today. You know, there was lots to come from Chris Ballard especially. And then, again, we talked to several players earlier in the morning. So we'll kind of hit you with all the bullet points from that. The Colts also made a handful of roster moves, primarily at the wide receiver position today. And also it brought up the subject of a big name wide receiver who they probably are not going to be pursuing at any point. So without further ado, let's get into it. First, you've called him the Maniac, but do not call him Darius anymore. Today, the linebacker, formerly known as Darius Leonard, told us that he prefers to be called by his middle name, Shaquille. His family and friends call him that. He said he's kind of always gone by that personally. But when he entered the league, he got some advice to just kind of like, you know, stay low, stay quiet, and just go about your business. So people called him Darius, and he just went by it. But today, after like 5 years, he's like, yeah, man, my name is Shaquille. I would prefer to be called that if you wouldn't mind. And that comes a year after us learning we'd been saying Bobby Okereke's last name wrong the whole time. So we kind of joked with Zaire Franklin today. We're like, hey man, what's your real name? Like, are you gonna continue to go by Zaire?
I relate so much with Darius Leonard. like as someone with anxiety and stuff like that, just going with it, like, whatever. I don't need to change it. Like growing up in high school, there was this kid who always called me Josh, and I corrected him the first like four times. And then, you know, a year went by, 2 years went by, 3 years went by where I just let him call me Josh. And I think he still thinks my name is Josh to this day. And it's been like 12 years or something since I knew this kid. So I totally relate to what Darius Leonard was going through. And I'm excited now to be calling him by the name he prefers, Shaquille Leonard. It's an awesome name, by the way.
I mean, yes.
Shaquille or Shaq is a much cooler name than Darius. So I am all for the Shaquille Leonard stuff and making it like the title of a bunch of stuff and all that. So yeah, I'm all for this. It's much better than finding out that you pronouncing some guy's name wrong his whole time, you know? So I'm all cool with this. I love it.
Yeah, it's like the first day at your new job, they call you Zane instead of Zach. And then it's like, well, I guess I'm Zane now forever. I'm absolutely not going to correct them on that. I agree. I actually put a note here. I think Shaquille Leonard sounds pretty sweet. So like that sounds even better. Maybe that's where he needs to take his game even to the next level, is have a sweet new name. Like when Nyheim Hines got a sweet new number as a rookie.
Yeah.
You never know.
Maybe.
Yeah. So these roster moves we mentioned, the Colts added Isaiah Ford and John Hurst. They also, in corresponding moves, waived Kikoa Crawford and I think it's Savion Patton, the defensive tackle.
I think that's how you say it.
Yeah, Savion Patton. So both Ford and Hurst are 6'1". They hit that 6-foot-plus check mark. Hurst is a little smaller, though, at 190. Ford is 201. Ford was a 7th-round pick with the Dolphins in 2017, and he's actually been there his whole career. He's not a journeyman like we see a lot of these guys getting picked up this time of year. He started 3 of 32 career games, has 63 receptions for 681 yards and 2 scores. Hurst was on, I think he was an undrafted free agent by the Buccaneers. And for the past 2 years, he's been with Tampa and the Los Angeles Chargers practice squads. He played collegiately at West Georgia. Zach, I think we're both kind of in the same boat here. They're probably not the bottom of the depth chart, but their main competition, especially Ford having NFL experience, you know, he's going against the DeMichael Harris's and Kiki QTs of the world, essentially.
Right. Right. Yeah. Isaiah Ford's an interesting one because he's had a little bit of success in the league. You know, I think he's appeared in like 45 games. I think he's only made like three starts, but he's appeared in a bunch of games, had over 400 yards receiving in his career. I think he had like 200 something back in 2019. Very talented player coming out of Virginia Tech. I know he was a really high recruit. I want to say he was like a 4 or 5 star guy going into VT and had a really strong career. It's just some testing numbers and stuff didn't line up with what teams wanted at the next level. But a very talented player. He can certainly stick as a bottom of the roster type guy. And I think it just adds that competition. And it's also a quality player that's going to be getting those reps that Mike Strawn is going to be vacating here in the offseason. I don't know as much about Hurst, obviously, but on paper, you know, I like the competition, obviously. And a guy like Ford, I think, absolutely has a chance to make the roster.
Yeah, I'm just kind of picturing their roles. I imagine they'll be getting a lot of reps with Sam Ellinger, and they'll probably be on special teams. So probably not going to see a whole lot from them. Maybe they get mixed in with Nick Foles every now and then. But they're kind of, you know, just they're getting the team by is what they're doing. It does seem like upgrades over a couple of the lower level guys. So that's at least good. Ford being what, wide receiver 7, 8, 9 is certainly more experienced and better than a lot of teams guys at that range. So
nothing
really to complain about there. And we mentioned this earlier, one guy they're probably not going to sign at receiver is Julio Jones. Seems like every few weeks this kind of picks up steam where someone connects Julio Jones and the Colts. There's been more reports lately, kind of unsubstantiated ones, saying that the Colts have kind of picked up their interest or talks with him. Chris Ballard flat out today said they have not had discussions about Julio Jones. Now, surely they know he's a free agent who's available. They've probably done homework. But as far as getting to the point where like, hey, should we sign him? No, they haven't had those conversations. Right. And he did say that T.Y. Hilton's still in play. And, you know, Zach, we were just talking, you know, off air first, how he brought up T.Y. today kind of unprompted. It just seems like if they are going to sign any veteran who's going to account for any snap total really during the season, it's probably going to be T.Y. or no one.
Right. Yeah. If you've been following the Indy beat reporters or anything, or guys who have kind of sourced info, I know Zach Kiefer has been saying it since like springtime that the Colts have not been interested in Julio Jones. Rashad McGinnis has said it a couple of times that the Colts haven't shown interest. And even we're not obviously on the level of those guys with sources, but we said it the other day, we were talking about him on the podcast. We said it was more fan fiction than anything. Well,
from what I've heard from the team as well, it's not really been all that realistic.
Right. It was more fanfic, and it was more of wanting to have that duo together. And I think it would be a good fit. It's just, it's probably not a direction that the Colts are going to go. And Chris Ballard kind of confirmed that today. So the dream is dead. We could stop speculating and we could stop having ESPN articles and aggregating those into articles for clicks and stuff. I think the dream is officially dead.
Yeah, sounds like it. Another little newsy bit here. We got some more context on the injured guys, the guys on PUP and non-football injury list. Tyquan Lewis with his knee, he's close to returning. Which is really good to hear because who knew what the timetable was? We just talked about that on our last show, I think. Rodney McLeod had a little bit of a knee thing. He's close. Chris Ballard said he's on PUP more because the team is being cautious rather than he himself wants to be out. So it sounds like the team just wants to make sure he's healthy before he goes out there because they're going to need him. They really will need him this year. Looks like Eric Johnson tweaked a back while he was training away from the team. He's on NFI. Sounds like he should be back shortly as well. Mike Strawn, that's one a lot of people were wondering about. He had to have a knee procedure, you know, this springtime. And they're optimistic and they hope he's back before camp ends, but there's really no guarantee there. So that's an interesting one because if he's not, and he hasn't had any reps with Matt Ryan throughout training camp, and you don't know what a second year development looks like for him. So that one is really interesting. Darius Leonard, that's the biggest one. He said it today. Chris Ballard basically reiterated it. He'll be back when he's back. He doesn't really need the offseason reps and everything. They know what he is, so they just want him as healthy as he can be by the time it's ready to start the season. No one was really ready to commit to him being ready week one either, which is no surprise really to hear that, because, again, they're just taking it cautious. They're not putting timetables on it. And then Julian Blackman, they're going to bring him along a little bit. They're not just going to throw him totally in the fire and give him a ton of reps, but he's back and ready to go.
Yeah, it was mostly good news on the injury front, you know. Mm-hmm. And last quick thing I'll say before we have to jump to our next stuff here is, you know, outside of Mike Strawn, you know, it's very, very optimistic on McLeod, Eric Johnson, you know, Liam Blackman, Quan. Those are some of the guys that we didn't expect maybe to see a lot this offseason. It looks like we're going to see them for basically the entire offseason. So great news. And now the hope is, you know, Mike Strawn can be back before the end of training camp and get some reps here with the starters or even with the second team.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people, when they see four, five, six guys on PUP and those lists, whatever, they say the injury issues have already started. But no, that's what it looks like for every team. Every team has right. A handful of guys starting the camp on PUP. That's just what it is. And it, like you said, this was pretty optimistic news today. Outside of learning Strawn probably isn't going to be ready quite yet, everything mm-hmm. else sounds really good. So right. We talked about Shaquille Leonard and all that, and I think I probably called him Darius in that last section. But one guy who ain't changing his name is Dave. Level with me. We've all been in a situation at some point in our lives when we're a little tight on cash. Maybe you could only afford to put a few gallons of gas in your tank, or you got another save the date, and you're wondering how you're going to afford a gift. That's where Dave can help. Dave is the banking app that can help you get up to $500 instantly with extra cash. That's more money to fill your tank, buy that wedding gift, or catch up on bills. You can finally tackle those expenses that have been stressing you out without any hangups. There's no interest and no credit check needed. Millions of people have already downloaded the Dave app to get financial relief that they need with the extra cash. Personally, I know Dave could have come in handy for me recently. I've mentioned before, I've got my dog who just has a big knack for being in and out of the vet. She's got some sort of new medicine that's always way more than you would want to spend. Plus, I just had to go unexpectedly run out and get a new battery for my car the other day. That stuff adds up quick, especially when you still have another week or so until you're going to get paid. So if you're in a pinch and you need some extra cash, download Dave and think of it as a helping hand from future you. Download the Dave app from the App Store right now. That's D-A-V-E. Sign up for an extra cash account and get up to $500 instantly. For terms and conditions, go to dave.com/legal. Instant transfer fees apply. Banking provided by Evolve, member FDIC. Future you will thank you. All right, so the most significant presser of the day was from Chris Ballard. He's always very forthcoming. He's about as transparent as it gets from a GM. But he had kind of a really strong, moving opening statement today, speaking about the events of most recently Greenwood and, you know, Uvalde and, you know, all these places where we keep having these incidences of gun violence. I mean, we're not going to get into how we feel about certain things here really, but it was just really good to hear from Colts leadership. You know, you've heard it from Steve Kerr, the head coach of the Golden State Warriors previously. We need really high level influential people like this to make their voices heard in order to keep the people who make decision makers for us in this country accountable.
Right. Yeah. Quick thing I'll say on this is we have never seen the Colts shy away from mm-hmm. saying controversial things, but for making stands for what they believe is right. You know, we've seen Frank mm-hmm. Reich talk about this. We've seen when the Colts did a lot with Black Lives Matter. Zaire Franklin took kind of the head on that stuff a couple years ago as well. So we have seen this team always step forward and make strong statements in the political aspect, social aspect, stuff like that. So this is just another one of those. And if you guys are interested at all in seeing what Chris Ballard's full comments were, we're not going to read the whole thing. You can find that, you know, I'm sure on plenty of websites right now. I think Stephen Holder posted the entire quote too on Twitter, if you guys want to check out that entire quote there.
Yeah, the Colts will normally put their video stuff on colts.com/videos or their YouTube. But Zach, aside from that, what was one of your big takeaways from Ballard's presser?
I mean, the one that you mentioned there in the first segment was bringing up T.Y. Hilton kind of unprompted. I thought that was very interesting, saying, you know, I think the question was more regarding, hey, what do you feel about this receiver group? Could you add another player? And he said, like, and Chris Ballard, you know, paraphrasing, obviously said, like, he likes the group. They have had discussions about adding a player. T.Y. still in the mix. You know, it was interesting that it went straight to, oh, T.Y.'s in the mix. T.Y.'s still a guy we're considering. So it seems like they're going to give these young guys their first shot, you know, see if Paris Campbell has a great camp again, see how Alec Pierce looks. And Ashton Doolin, who was also singled out by Chris Ballard again as a player who people kind of sleep on a little bit. I think they want to see how those guys look. And then if they aren't living up to expectations, they'll bring in T.Y. Hilton. But I thought that was interesting. And then also, like I just said, the way that they mentioned the wide receiver group, you know, it started with Michael Pittman Jr. as the top guy they mentioned, or he mentioned, and then it went to Paris Campbell. Then it went to Alec Pierce, and then it went to Ashton Doolin, then Dez Patman. And then after that, it went to Kiki Cootie and to Michael Harris. You know, that's kind of what we always, that's kind of what we expected out of this wide receiver group going into camp. But to hear Chris Ballard, you know, if you're reading between the lines, see that that's the way that he listed the receivers. It's exactly the way that we kind of view that group as well. So you can kind of see that wide receiver depth chart just by the way that Chris Ballard listed that in his comments. That was kind of insightful.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you're exactly right. I don't think at this point they really bring in an established veteran. Not that they won't do it at all, but like most likely only if things are just not working out and they're not getting what they want from this young group, which I don't see that happening because they really like all of them. They know all their strengths and weaknesses. You mentioned Desmond Patman. Ballard specifically said, you know, this is a big year for him.
Right.
You know, this is year three. It's really time. We're looking forward for something big from him. And guys usually respond when he mentions them in the past, those kind of fringe guys. So that's something I would look for. T.Y. Hilton, I just kind of mentioned this. If they're going to make a veteran move, it seems like he's about the only one.
Right.
And I mean, there's no reason to rush him in. I don't think he's in a rush to go through training camp or anything. I'm sure he's keeping himself ready, but he doesn't need to go through the rigors of all that. And they want to see these young guys first. So they're not in a rush either. If it happens, it'll get done when it gets done.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I thought that was super interesting though. I loved it.
Yeah. And some small little note, we don't have to go through it too much, but they did kind of update their scheduling a little bit this year. They said that, how it was brought up was someone asked Ballard about avoiding all these week one losses year after year. Like I forget how many it is in a row, but it's too many. Basically they're trying to set themselves up through training camp to where it's such a smooth transition into week one. He specifically said they're trying to get their circadian rhythms, you know, in line with how week one's going to go. They moved up back practice times a couple hours to noon. It used to be like 10. They're going to do walkthroughs in the morning, things like that. They're trying to get themselves as smoothly pushed into week one as possible to avoid yet another letdown. But basically, he said, we got to play good football early on. We can't just keep shooting ourselves in the foot. So what was your next big point?
Yeah. So the last big one I really want to talk about was, and it's something that we were talking about beforehand too, was when Chris Ballard mentioned the training camp battles here, you know, the roster spots that are kind of up for grab, you know, starting left tackle. It was Bernard Raimann and Matt Pryor that he was talking about. And it seemed like from his comments, Matt Pryor definitely has the inside edge, but it seems like it's a pretty close battle. I mean, he mentioned those two names in particular and saying that it's going to be an open battle in camp to see who looks better in the team drills in particular. That's what it was. Who looked like they gel better that first team offensive line. He also mentioned the depth at the interior defensive line spot, which we talked about the other day. You know, it could be Chris Williams, Eric Johnson. It could be Curtis Brooks. If you guys are on YouTube, you can see it right there. It could be perfect. Curtis Brooks and Byron Coward, you know, the guy they just claimed the other day, too. I mean, that I think that is completely wide open. I think it's going to be, you know, best two guys make the roster and the other two, you know, practice squad or elsewhere. And then the other one he mentioned was strong safety or just safety in general, but he was kind of implying strong safety when he said it. I think that one was really interesting because, again, maybe reading a little too much into it, he said it was Nick Cross and the other young guys kind of competing at the other safety spot next to Julian Blackman, which I thought was intriguing because we all kind of were operating under the thought process that it's going to be Roddy McLeod taking some of the early snaps and then Nick Cross taking over at strong safety. But it might be that they view McLeod more as a free safety depth player, and it might be Cross versus, you know, Armani Watts at strong safety. So if that's the case, it really should be Nick Cross, no questions asked. But I thought that was an interesting little comment from Chris Ballard there in his presser.
Yeah, most definitely. I honestly came into today feeling more like it's an even competition between Ryman and Pryor. Pryor's absolutely going to get that first shake of it. But I always kind of operated under, you know, it was Pryor. It's up to Pryor until it's not, essentially.
Right.
But now I kind of wonder if there will be rotations involved and things like this. I'm more open-minded as to what's going to happen at that position now. Safety, I think you're right. I think they know they can put McLeod wherever and it'll be fine. But they're going to give Cross and Armani Watts. And I'm not going to throw Marcel Dabo and Rodney Thomas into that yet. They are a couple of the other young guys. But I would think it'd be between Cross, Watts, and McLeod. McLeod probably preferentially being a backup free safety, like you said. But he's another one where they don't really need to know what they have there because they already do know what he can do. So that's kind of interesting. We'll see how long he's out, maybe a week or something. I don't know, but they tend to throw these guys right back into like the first team or something after they've been out a while. So I'll be really interested to see how that dynamic shakes out.
Yeah, no, definitely. Now we talked about Chris Ballard's presser. And before we jump into the player pressers and what a lot of the other players were saying, let's talk about some bets. BetOnline.net is the fastest and easiest way to check in on all your betting needs. Find all your favorite sports and events at the number one online source for odds, lines, and games. Find reviews and news of every league, including Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA, NHL, and even golf. BetOnline continues to be the online resource for all your sports wagering information, from online betting, scores, and podcasts. They have you covered. If you guys want to find a really cool bet that's on there right now, the Colts are currently ranked sixth in odds to win the AFC. They're tied with the Denver Broncos. They're sixth best odds to win the AFC, as the right to represent the AFC in the Super Bowl. If you guys are really high on this Colts team, like I know some of you are, make sure you place those bets now and you can win some good money there on BetOnline. Head to BetOnline today and use your mobile device to learn more about the action happening today. BetOnline, where the game starts. So kicking off this last section of the podcast, we're going to talk about the player pressers. And you know, if you don't want to read too much the lines, in between the lines when it comes to, you know, a coach or a GM, it's even more tricky with player stuff because at the end of the day, the players really aren't going to give you too much. You know, they'll give you a little insight into some of their training and some of the work they've done. But I think the biggest takeaway for both of us, Jake, was just, again, something we've heard all offseason is just so complimentary of Matt Ryan, you know, and I know the reporters were kind of force feeding it. You know, what do you think of Matt Ryan? You know, I think Zaire Franklin got asked a lot about Matt Ryan. I think Nyheim Hines, all of his questions were about Matt Ryan. But from you being there, did it seem, you know, these players were genuinely excited about Matt Ryan?
Yeah, absolutely. And particularly Nyheim Hines. I think I tweeted, you know, he seems really giddy to have Matt Ryan back in the saddle. He mentioned he wants to set a new career high in receptions. He's hit 63 twice. He wants to go over that. Him and Jonathan Taylor both kind of said, you know, if that's what Matt wants, that's what we're definitely going to do. Yeah. Taylor is kind of more the kind to give you coach speak. But I think Nyheim Hines really, really showed a lot of interest in Ryan. He said when he addresses the team, you just get chills and you can't really describe it. Like, he's all in on Matt Ryan. So that's good to see. Everyone was really complimentary. I made a comment to one of the other media people today that we've kind of moved past the point of the offseason where it's bashing Carson Wentz. And now it's almost like it never happened. Yeah. It seems like things just went from Philip Rivers to Matt Ryan because their leadership styles are very similar and just how everyone feels about those guys is so similar. It's almost like they went from Rivers to Ryan and everyone is just so ready to get this era started.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I love what you said about Jonathan Taylor being coach speak because just reading through his quotes, it was like did Frank Reich just answer the questions for him? I mean, it was very, right. That he wants to get 1% better every day too. And, you know, all that, like Jonathan Taylor, the most coach speak person ever. But the other player that, you know, he's obviously the guy I always want to single out when it comes to these, because he just gives such great insight on everything, is DeForest Buckner. DeForest Buckner, and this is the most interesting thing that I want to talk about. And let me pull it up right here. I have my notes. I'm the first time I'm ever clicking through different tabs while we're doing a podcast. It's usually Jake, but the most important thing that I saw with Buckner is he talked about how he collected a bunch of guys down in Oklahoma to work with his trainer, Mark Hall. Mark Hall, if you guys don't know, because I just somehow I'm very connected with a lot of defensive line coaches or defensive line trainers around the country. Mark Hall is an extremely exclusive defensive line coach. He has a couple guys on retainer, you know, DeForest Buckner. I think there's a couple other like elite path. Like I think Miles Garrett might be one, but it's a couple guys that he has, and he doesn't work with anybody else unless one of those players on retainer brings some of his teammates. So DeForest Buckner brought a handful of teammates down there to work with this renowned defensive line coach, like what probably the best in the country. And the guys he brought down were Dio Dangbo, Quiddy Pay, and Ben Banigou. That's what DeForest Buckner said today.
They said Taylor Stallworth came along too.
Oh, Taylor Stallworth did too? Okay. Yeah. I thought he said that they took him last year, but I might be off there.
Quiddy gave more insight into that. Okay. That training session as well.
Yeah. Perfect. So yeah, they brought Dio down there, Quiddy and Ben Banigou, and then Taylor Stallworth, who's obviously with the Chiefs now. But they brought all those guys down there to work with this very exclusive trainer. And DeForest Buckner said that he saw great growth in all three guys. He said he had Banigou down there last year with him. And he also was very complimentary of Quiddy Pay and just talking about what he had seen out of Quiddy Pay, which I thought was really interesting. But I thought that was cool that he brought those young players to, again, this very exclusive D-line trainer. And I thought it was really interesting with Dio, too, is because when we talked to Dio's defensive line trainer, Eddie McGilvra, that was also when he was working with Eddie, like right before that Oklahoma session. Yeah. Dio went from working with Eddie, who's a great defensive line trainer as well, to working with Mark Hall, who's one of the best defensive line trainers. So Dio was busy this offseason, and DeForest Buckner kind of helped paint that picture for us. So I thought it was cool to get that little insight.
Yeah, and to kind of piggyback off of that, Quiddy Pay spoke as well. I had asked him about, you know, what did he feel he most gained from those training sessions with Buckner out in Oklahoma, with Coach Eddie, he worked with Robert Mathis, like what did he gain most? And he said, you know, I'm a really athletic guy, but you need technique to make it all work and to kind of take yourself to the next level, because you can only get by with athleticism so far. So lots of working on handwork and kind of combat with the offensive tackle and their hands and hand placement, like, you know how much the hands are involved in defensive line play. So he got a lot of technique work. DeForest Buckner mentioned they did a lot of film study as a group as well. But another big thing was Quiddy can now see. Apparently he had like terrible vision or like no peripheral vision or something previously. And he now has like glasses and contacts. And so he can see a whole lot better now, which apparently was like a pretty big issue last year, but that's now taken care of.
Sorry, I was trying to cut you off, but I was going to say under Eberflus, they were a ball tracking defense for the most part. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I think Quiddy said something about that too, but they were like, there's so much of their defense was ball tracking. You engage your man, you wait for, you're kind of tracking the ball once you engage your man. So, you know how hard that would be without peripheral vision?
Right. Like, exactly.
It's brutal. So, yeah, it's great that he got that fixed, even though this is going to be more, you know, running straight on this defense. But, yeah, it's great that he got that fixed.
Yeah, regardless on a football field, you need to have as much 360 vision as you can possibly have. And so it sounds like he literally was playing with, not literally, but kind of playing with a hand behind his back last year. Right. So that's another big thing we can look forward to that we haven't talked about, is we expect a big jump from him, but now we can see. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. I think that's all we got though for player stuff. I mean, except for Kenny and Ballard both talked about the contract situation. Both sides are on good terms and they're just ready to get out there on the field. So I think we can kind of squash the riff that everyone's kind of been talking about with that one.
Yeah, no, they both definitely downplayed it quite a bit. So I think that kind of puts a bow on everything from report day. Tomorrow, we will be able to tell you about practice, which is what we've all been waiting for so long. They're going to start practicing Wednesday around noon, so we'll have the highlights from day one ready for you. We'll be speaking with several players and coaches throughout these next several weeks, so we'll have top to bottom coverage for you guys on that.
Yeah, and make sure you guys are following Jake on Twitter. Jake has been boots on the ground. He's going to be boots on the ground for all of the offseason at Jake Arthur NFL. Also, our co-worker there at Horseshoe Huddle, at Andrew Moore, will be there for a good bit. I think it's at Andrew Moore NFL, I think is his Twitter handle.
Now I'm going to have to check it.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. You check that while I'm saying the rest of this. But also follow
me at Zach Hicks. Put the elevator music on.
Yeah. But you guys can follow me, too, at Zach Hicks, too. You can follow Horseshoe Huddle on Twitter and obviously on your news feeds and stuff like that. You can get the Horseshoe Huddle newsletter. Follow us here on YouTube. Subscribe to the Locked On Colts podcast. We're almost at 500 subscribers. You guys have been awesome with that. And then also rate, review, and subscribe wherever you listen to your podcast, Spotify, Apple, Stitcher, wherever. And Jake, do you have Andrew's Twitter?
Yep, he is at Andrew Moore NFL.
I know my coworkers. So yeah, follow Andrew right. as well. He'll be on the show every now and then. He'll also be boots on the ground for a bit. Me, if just follow if you want some bad takes, but those guys, they're going to be there almost every day. So make sure you are putting those tweet notifications on for Jake and Andrew.
Yep, absolutely. And thank you guys again for making Locked On Colts your first listen of the day. Now make your second listen the Locked On NFL podcast. Our national NFL experts and insiders keep you guys dialed in with the biggest stories and latest news from around the league. Every team is going to be in training camp now as of this week, so news is going to just be rapid fire. That's going to be, if you need to keep up with the NFL and fantasy stuff, what have you, that's going to be a critical podcast for you to follow. And with that, we will see you guys tomorrow to talk about more practice.